My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We've got Brad Sturdy, the Uber Illini insider, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the victory today over Morehead State and a little bit about the game on Saturday against the Dukes. We'll be back after this minute.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
And as promised, we have Brad Sturdy here. Brad, give us your impressions of a pretty impressive win by the Illini, particularly with a spectacular second half.
Yeah, boy, Illinois was really good in the second half. It's interesting, you know, a lot of the things that we talked about pregame were, you know, limiting their three-point attempts. So they got 33s up. So they didn't do a great job of that. But Illinois is so good offensively. Even with a slower pace game, even with the lack of possessions, they still are just, 64 possession game, but they put up 85 points. I mean, it's just really crazy how good offensively this team is against teams that are continue to be, you know, quality opponents. And it's really impressive. They get another really good defensive team when they play Duquesne coming up. So this was an impressive effort. I will say this. We'll talk about Marcus Damascus getting triple-double. Terrence Shannon coming out aggressive and, you know, it's 26 points and all-time short leader. But, man, the things they got, Coleman Hawkins had a, you know, solid floor game with 10 points and 5 assists, 4 rebounds, et cetera. But the games they got from Dre Gibbs-Lahorn and Dane Danger off the bench and Luke Goody were just fantastic. I mean, the bench was the difference in this game. Those guys really stepped up and were great.
Yeah, it was something else, especially Dane just basically bullying people in the inside. The other part was he was getting up and down the court, and that was huge for the ability to find himself open for some easy shots and force a Morehead State team that really isn't that deep into getting guys who were tired going up and down the court.
It's really amazing because you don't feel like, you know, we've talked about this before. You don't feel like Illinois does a bunch of like subbing, you know, or doesn't play like a bunch of people. But yet at the end of the day, they just wear teams down. Over and over, we've seen this throughout the Big Ten tournaments. Like second half, the other team looks exhausted and Morehead State did too. But then you look down at, you know, and you're like, oh, well, they look exhausted. And it's like, and then you look, Terrence Shannon played 35 minutes. Marcus Damascus played 36 minutes. Coleman Hawkins played 32 minutes. But they're not tired at the end. I mean, they're doing great things. And so it's really impressive when you think about how they're doing this and their ability to you know, get this done using, you know, guys. Now, I will say this, outside of those three guys, you know, Ty Rogers only played 13 minutes. Quincy Guerriere only played 12. They didn't score. But, you know, Dane played 23. Luke, 21. They got 10 minutes from Harmon, 3 minutes from Hansberry, and 3 minutes from Moretti. But, you know, it's just really astounding to me. You can understand why those guys were fresh, but how is, you know, Terrence Shannon and Marcus Mass still look like the, and Coleman Hawkins looked like the freshest guys on the floor after playing 32 to 36 minutes? That's testament to conditioning.
Yeah. And it's something that if I was a player thinking about transferring out of Illinois, you got to look at Fletch, and now even for, I don't know how long it'll be, but having Sanderson there with him, I mean, there's not a better team in the country. There may be some people as good, but I don't think there's anybody better.
No question. I totally agree. I think that, and that shows, you know, difference in the programs. I said that in all three games in that Big Ten tournament. Those are all Big Ten. That's high major guys. And yet the conditioning of the Illinois guys was just on a different level than everyone else, even on that third day. So really impressive win. I thought the second half was just astounding. We have to talk a little bit about Dane Danger. I mean, I think, am I crazy in thinking like a month ago, everybody had written Dane Danger off, that he's transferring and he's out of here and he's going somewhere else. And now Dane Danger is scoring 21 points in 23 minutes in the NCAA tournament, grabbing 8 rebounds, blocking a couple shots. I mean, you look back at the Big Ten tournament, three of the last four games, he's been fantastic. Am I crazy in thinking that maybe Dane Danger needs to stick around and be like a 20 to 25 minute guy up front?
Well, and look, let's go back to who believed in him the most. We remember the stories of Kofi having a harder time against Dane Danger in practice back in the days when you had to sit before you transferred than he had against any Big Ten center outside of Zach Edey. So the coaches believed in him, and they know what he can do when he's in the right frame of mind and when he's in good physical condition.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other thing is, like, he's in shape now. You know, that quad that he had bothered him, and he got him, came in a little out of shape with the quad injury. Now he's in shape and he's ready to run. He beats guys up and down the floor. It's fun to watch. I mean, he really does some good things, and we know he's skilled in the post. You know, I'm really impressed by these guys. Now here's the weird part. Illinois does it differently every game, right? In the Big Ten tournament, they were shooting what? You know, they were shooting 25, 30 plus free throws a game. They shoot 12 free throws. Yeah. 12 free throws the whole game. DeMas doesn't shoot a free throw. Shannon shoots 6. Dane shoots 4. That's it. Now they made 9 out of 12, which is solid. And Moretti shot his in the last 3 minutes. So
right,
they really only shot 10 free throws when the game was in the balance, and yet they still score 85 points in 64 possessions. You want to play slow, they score. You want to play fast, they score even more. So this is just a kind of a freakish offensive team.
Yes, and I want to throw one thing in there as we're talking here. I thought that the officials, whatever instructions the Big Ten, or excuse me, the NCAA supervisor provides to the referees, I wish they would get a copy of that and put that in front of the Big Ten supervisor and tell him that that's what you're looking for, because I thought that the refs were pretty balanced. If you compare, it would have been, you know, basically 10 free throws during the game to 8 versus Moorhead. You know, you add in the 2 free throws at the very end, but that's a pretty nice split. And there was some contact going on, but I thought it was fair both ways. Referees they didn't become part of a game, that we just watched the teams compete. I thought that the officiating was amazingly good in this game.
Yeah, do a good job. I thought they really did a good job. Do you realize, so I'm going through this and I was kind of looking at this. Do you realize how many teams have had a better adjusted offensive efficiency on KenPom over the past 15 years than this Illinois team?
Maybe there's like one, 6.
Less. Wow. There's one this year, Connecticut. Okay. The last one before that was Gonzaga, and it's very similar, but Gonzaga in 2021 when they finished national runner-up, I believe, right?
Right.
And then so you've got that, and then you have to go back to Villanova when they won the title in 18. Then you go back Oklahoma State, coached by in 2016 by
Brad Underwood.
Brad Underwood. They were slightly better. And then Wisconsin in 2015. And that's it going back to literally, we can go back to 2000. We're in the early 2000s and nobody has. So that's it. That is just, this is an offense that's on another level, guys. I mean, and they do it so many different ways. I think that's the coolest thing is they just find a different way to get it done. And I'm really impressed by what they've done. Duke in 99 was the last, was the other one. So, okay. Yeah. That's an impressive offense.
Yeah, and I will say that it seems to me that Terrence Shannon, when he gets out on the break, he's as much of a weapon as Kofi Coburn was on the inside. Different style of weapon, but just as impactful. Teams had to run everything to keep Kofi, you know, from killing you. And with with the same thing with Shannon, because you got to put guys back. And even when you have guys back, they can't believe how quick he's on them. It's just like, whoa, he's here already.
How did he get here so fast?
Yes.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think that the one thing is, I think a lot of guys, you can't, and I say this in all sincerity of Morehead State, I thought they had a really good game plan. I thought they did a really well coached team. They have some talented kids. But you cannot, in the first half, they had a plan. You could tell they had a plan. We're going to wall up. We're going to keep him out of there. You can't simulate what he does until you actually experience it. And it takes time to,
yes,
until that 6'6", 220 is coming downhill full speed. You don't realize how explosive he is coming downhill. And you're like, well, I thought I was there.
Yeah. And if he grew up in Florida, he'd be playing wide receiver in the SEC.
He'd be playing wide receiver in the NFL. Cause well, he's 23.
Yeah,
he'd be
exactly
gone.
Yeah. Good point.
And you know, you watched him in high school. He wasn't as great a football player as he probably should have been, but man, I tell you what, this dude is, he's special. They've got some really great characters and they're set up so well now. I mean, the Duquesne is obviously a quality team. Really. Keith Ambrose, great coach. Obviously LeBron's old coach. So he's he's well known. I think they've got the Cinderella story, but I just don't think they can match up with Illinois inside, outside, and so forth. So,
yeah. So, hey, we'll be right back after this commercial message.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
And we are back, Mike Kegley with Brad Sturdy, talking about Illinois' really a pretty impressive victory today over Morehead State. Brad, you know, as we've talked a little bit about a variety of subjects, anything else that comes to mind on you? I know we talked a little bit in the break about Coleman Hawkins. He is, when you talk to him in the locker room, he's very relaxed, usually, you know, laid back and inclined. But I do think one of the very interesting things is if you watch his interviews, he has a very, very good grasp on the actual basketball strategy that's being employed out there. And he's a great one to go ask questions of because he'll actually give you an answer and it's pretty well thought out. He understands the game.
Yeah, no question. Hawkins. I would say Hawkins, Damask, those guys are fantastic IQ. And I think we don't get to talk to Terrence Shannon right now, but he's also the same way. He's a student of the game. And you put all those guys out there, they're smart, know what they're supposed to do. It doesn't mean it's always going to work, but they make a lot of great reads. I mean, I'd like to see, I think as he develops, Ty Rogers can be that guy down the road, but saw today, like he was surprised. There was one, he turned over Damasco and had another assist and he passed it to him. He kind of fumbled it. Cause he didn't expect to get the ball.
Yeah.
But he was wide open. Like sometimes it's almost like the quarterback throwing a guy open and it's like, oh crap, I'm open. And so it's really good. The play of the game for me, and I think you talked about this before, was still that 18:36 to go. Terrence Shannon runs, tips the ball away, gets tripped, gets up, runs, dives, and throws the ball at the guy's leg. And I know that that's not like you wouldn't think that's a magical shot, a crazy play. But man, is that huge to just your best player is just laying it on the line while, and all the other, I'm not saying the other guys didn't play hard, but when your best player does that, it's a lift for everybody.
And not just your best player, your guy who should have been the runner up for the National Player of the Year behind mm-hmm. Zach Edey. And he's giving it all. That makes it really hard for you as one of his teammates to not say, I can't do that. You know, you're just not going to do that. So you have to try to play at that level. And I just thought there was so many moments there that, you know, again, it looked like he was trying to lead by example. I don't think Shannon's a leader who likes to talk a lot. And I thought he led by example. And I also thought the little things like Luke Goody knocking down the big shots when they needed to be knocked down. I mean, that's his job out there, and he did it extremely well. Dre Gibbs LaHorne coming in and knocking down, I mean, you know, you could hear the crack of the net when he shot the ball. But yet in the other end, he's playing, you know, good defense. He's dialed in. Those little things like that don't really make that much of a mark in the record book, but they're a big deal.
Oh, huge. Those little things are what it's all about. The dives, the getting on the floor, the getting a tip, a deflection. Those sometimes they don't show up in a score sheet, but they are winning plays. I think that's the best example. Those are winning plays. And Terrence Shannon had some winning plays today. He's just how does he not on everyone, and I, we know why.
Well, yeah, we know. Yeah,
but the reality is, you should have to. Those people should have to defend that, because it's an aberration that he is not a first team All American. I mean, yeah. it's complete. I mean, okay, you want to say he's not first team? How can he not be one of the top 10 players in the country based on what he's done the last four games? The last four games, this dude has been on one, and he's just dominated the games. I don't even know how you don't have him on a first team All-American team. And I'll be honest with you, how does, you know, I look at Damask should be mentioned in a lot of this stuff. You know, he's a really good player. Does a little bit of everything. I mean, there's your point guard, right? Remember, we didn't have a point guard, but we have one. He just, you know, maybe isn't what you think of when you think of a point guard. So
yeah, you don't think of a 6'6" guy who looks like a tight end.
Yeah.
And yet when you watch him, you know, it goes back to, I still remember one of the first games of the season and over in Champaign, and we were covering the game, and Tim Anderson was drilling Domask on ball handling drills to warm up. Mm-hmm. And you saw what he was doing, and it was like, wow, this guy, that's when it really hit me that, you know, Ty Rogers may not have to play a lot of point guard this year.
Yeah, and he lost. Damask went from 235 to 219. I mean, he's still huge.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 6'6", 220, basically, but he lost 15 pounds of, like, kind of that extra stuff. Now he's got a little bit more burst, a little bit more quickness laterally, and he's worked on ball handling immensely. Tim Anderson's done a fantastic job with him. He's just better. And it's a testament to Marcus Damask. Brad Underwood, so I was sitting with Brad Underwood this December, going back, and we were watching Merez Johnson play. And he told me, he said, our two guys that work the hardest are Terrence Shannon and Marcus Damask. They are in the gym more than anybody else. He said, when your best players are your hardest workers, that team is going to be player-led and they're going to be successful. We saw that in the Big Ten tournament when they had the timeout, and Underwood didn't even have to have the timeout. The players took care of it. This is a team that is old, it's veteran, and they understand what they have to do. Zach Hamer told me, I talked to him and he told me, talking about like Quincy Guerrier coming in and how he'd done in the summer. And he said, he's a professional. These guys are like professionals. They are old. They're understand the goal is to win the game. The goal isn't to score points. The goal isn't to do this. It's to win the game. And they're doing a great job of that. By the way, we got to mention, Mike, this is the third winningest season in Illinois basketball history with 27 wins. One more would put them in a – they were tied for third. One more would put them alone in third place with 28 wins. Behind, of course, the 37-2 national runner-up and the 31-5 Final Four team from 1989.
Yes, and I'm all for making a run and see how many they can get here. Five more would look nice.
Yeah, I take that. What would that? They still wouldn't have the most wins, but I think they'd be pretty celebrated and pretty
yes,
happy.
Yes, I do too. Now let's look ahead here a little bit to the, playing Duquesne Dukes. The thing that scares me about the Dukes is we had heard how BYU was one of the top shooting teams in the country, and they were able to keep games, close, and they could score on almost anybody. And the Dukes held the Cougars to 38.6 percent shooting from the field and 33% from the three-point line. So they were successful in contesting shots all across the offensive end of the court.
They really do.
How do you think they will fare against Illinois' offense? Can they keep up that level of performance? Because we've seen the Buckeyes, we've seen Nebraska, we've seen Wisconsin, and now Morehead State fade in the second half.
They cannot. They will not be able to slow down the zone. I keep saying it. It's like people are – they're going to score. This team scores. That's what they do. If they miss shots, then they get rebounds. If they make threes, then they make threes. If they make twos, they make twos. If they get to the line 32 times, they make 26 free throws. This team just scores baskets. It's insane what they do offensively. Like we were talking earlier, it's one of the best offensive teams, in the last 25 years in college basketball. We need to appreciate it. But at the same time, I will say this. This Duquesne team will battle and they will compete. Now, do I think that they can beat Illinois? Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. Do I think that if they played 10 times that they would win one? Maybe one on a really good day, probably more like once every 25 times. They are a team that they're playing well. They've won 9 in a row. But at the same time, they have the best win they have is probably Bradley before BYU. They beat Dayton, I guess they beat Nancy Ace, I don't know. BYU, but the one thing about BYU, I watched this game and I thought that BYU got a lot of open shots and literally just bricked them. I mean, just wide open shots. And BYU is playing, it's really weird though. BYU stopped taking threes. They ran them off the line. Okay, are you going to run Terrence Shannon off the line? You're going to force him into dunks? I don't think that's effective.
Exactly. Exactly.
Are you going to let Marcus Damask go and work in the post like they did? I mean, they're going to have change. Keith Dambrot's a really good coach. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, they can't guard Illinois. Now they have those small guards. They're going to play three small guards against Illinois. They're going to play the little kid, the Rozier kid, who's, tiny. I believe he's five nine.
But they said that was maybe inflated.
Yeah, I think he actually played with Mean Streets too. So he's older. He might have been with. He might have played with Ty.
Okay.
On Mean Streets, but anyway, so. They got 6'9" and 6'7", the 6'7" kid, Fossaini. By the way, how about this? We had two kids named Fossaini, Drame, and Fossaini, the other guy from BYU. They had two dudes named Fossaini. That is not a normal thing, is it? Does that happen very often?
They win the Fossaini Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen. So, but anyway, but back to important stuff. Yeah, I just think they're small. They got a 6'9", David Dixon's the tallest guy. They do bring a guy off the bench a little bit, but pretty much they don't have a ton of depth. They play small guards, and they're gonna have to they will You know, they're going to have a really good shooting game to hang around in this game, and they're going to have to find a way to rebound against Illinois, because this team is actually 224th in the country in offensive rebounding, or defensive rebound, rather. So they give up a lot of offensive rebounds, which has not bode well for them against Illinois. They do like to force turnovers, so if they can force turnovers and get in runouts, it gives Duquesne a chance, but I don't see that happening. This is not a great offensive team. They rely on kind of grinding stuff out and finding a way to win, but they like to play a little bit. They will play a little faster than what we just watched. And teams can speed them up a little bit. And that's where they're a little different maybe than other teams. So yeah, I think this is a really good matchup for Illinois. I expect them to score in the 80s and win this game by, 10 plus points.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm hoping for that. I do think that the one thing that you've noted, and I think we've talked about before, is there's just no way to prepare for Terrence Shannon coming at you on a fast break, because odds are you don't have a player who can replicate his speed. Illinois did when D. Brown played, but yet you can't replicate 6'6" and a freight train coming down the track either. So it's a challenge to prepare for him. And then that means you've got to pull guys back, and now your offensive rebounding, is hit. And then that allows Illinois then to get more fast break started. So you kind of get into this weird circular argument over, like, what do we do to stop Terrence Shannon from going down and, dunking or getting free throws?
For what we've seen this year, you don't. You just, what teams are trying to do is, I've noticed that they either, one of those two things, they basically are attacking the outlet. So they just run in front of Shannon so that you can't get in the ball in transition.
Right.
And then when they get back, they're actually walling up the lane. Like they just, but like we said, it also is going to open up, like, and even when they get back though, they don't get back enough. Like you can't, we were talking about this. You can't simulate it. They get back there and they think they're in good position, and they're not, because this guy's so explosive and fast, and there's just a little gap and he's able to get through. But I think you're going to see teams try and wall up in the back. So having Terrence Shannon on the floor actually makes teams not want an offensive rebound, because they don't want to give up transition dunks and layups.
Exactly. And that will wrap up this portion of the episode. We'll be right back after these messages.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcasts. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate it. Do us a favor. Give us a 5-star review and share it on social media with an Illini friend of yours. We'd love to get more people involved in Illini Guys, and you can subscribe at IlliniGuys.com. We will be back with all sorts of coverage on Saturday as the Illini go for their first Sweet 16 since 2005. Go Illini!